still have to call roll.
So I have to call this regularly scheduled meeting to order and a roll call and everything, and I'm gonna have to borrow a pen from somebody in order to do that. Thank you.
It's gonna be an interesting day today.
It'll be really interesting.
It's gonna be interesting day. You guys are all wrong. My party now. Okay. So yeah, we're calling the meeting to order, and we're gonna do a roll call. Is what we're gonna start out with, correct?
Yes.
We're gonna look at Todd every step of the way.
Roger that, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Roll call. Dave Wender. We're gonna go with absent. Nathan, that'd be me. Here. Steve.
Here.
Dan.
Here.
Tammy.
Rob.
Here. Rick.
Here.
Diane. Trig.
Here.
Welcome to the team.
Thanks, man.
Todd.
Here.
Ashley.
Here.
All right. And then we are going to move on to confirming the agenda. The motion to confirm the agenda.
So moved.
So moved. That was Dan.
Second.
That was Rob.
What did you move?
So,
no.
The agenda.
Let's not do that again.
And then we made
just wanted to know what I was voting.
Verbal, right? Verbal vote on that. So everybody in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Good. We passed. Look how much we're getting done. All right. Approve the consent agenda. We need to approve the minutes. We have one for that, and that one is a verbal. The next one.
No. It's with
roll call.
We can do it all together.
All right, we can do both together. There we go. Perfect. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
And then this is going to be
roll call.
Roll call. So Dave is absent. Nathan is an aye. Steve.
Aye.
Dan.
Aye.
Andy.
Aye.
Rob.
Aye.
Rick.
Aye.
Dan.
Aye.
Trig.
Aye.
And then as well, so we have passed. We are moving on to item number five. Item number five, I have heard, is going to be tabled until Dave is back and able to join us. And he's absent today due to some severe back pain that he's going to be getting looked into.
Yes,
so.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Dave extended his regrets for not being able to be here today. He had planned on being able to have this proclamation ready for former Commissioner Byrd, but he promises he'll be ready for the next meeting. So,
so I would move on to item number six, which is a legislative update from Scott. Oh, and you guys do have an attachment in regards to this. It looks like this.
Yes, there was a print hearing today, so you do have.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for a chance to give you a quick update on where we are with the legislation that you have before you. This bill was introduced this morning. There has not been a hearing yet. Likely next week they'll schedule a hearing. So what this requirements that were put into law about 3 or 4 years ago on how every $1 million are spent for the construction of public buildings, and specifically to adding a restriction. Well, it's adding a building that you can use every $1 million for once a vote has been taken to people. Maybe to put this in their mind. So, multipurpose sports stadium. Specifically called out here. The main things that are changing is originally this required a vote of 60% of the electorate in order to spend more than 51% of the project cost on municipal building, which defines libraries, city halls, fire stations. Now the change is the 51% of cost is gone. There's no cost restriction. It was a 55% vote of people. So what that means is it can be wanted to build the new fire station. Before you could expend any dollars on that, you would have to go out to the voters and get at least 55% support for them to build that fire station. And the idea there, the reason that the idea is those buildings aren't on the tax rolls, and so they're not contributing to the tax base. And so getting the voter approval before you spend the $10 on that somehow makes it better. So that's the concept behind it. So in practical application for the stadium that's being considered in Boise, it can still be built if there's a vote, 55% of people say, yeah, I think it's a good idea. They could then use urban mill dollars to fund the entire thing, actually.
And they lowered the threshold?
Mr. Chairman, they did. They lowered the threshold from 60 to 57. And that was actually part of why it took so long to get this bill to where it is, because there was a lot of internal discussion with the ranks of those who were really involved legislatively, and those who originally put the 60% in there are supportive of the 55%. And so, in large part, the reason that they're supporting that now is because they feel that the compromise is the stadium. The reality of a vote and support like that, and I guess, I don't know. One of the things that we were able, that we had a little bit of the input into from NBC's perspective is making sure that the, usual customary items that facilities or things that urban mill districts would pay for are still allowed. So your infrastructure and what they term as the below ground stuff, you can see that on line 21. Wanted to make sure that wasn't inadvertently swept up into the no, you can't do this, primarily because when the tax commission starts promulgating the rules for this, oftentimes there's some confusion and things don't always turn out right. That happens after the session. So this just makes it clear that the agencies can still spend money without a vote on any of your infrastructure needs, and even for the buildings that would be required to have a vote on, you can still put that infrastructure in, because that's the part of urban renewal that entices development to come, right? That's the whole point. We want to, we can provide the infrastructure for the development, and then the development comes in and does the rest. So that's in there as well. Beyond that, there's an emergency clause, and what that means is that this will take effect as soon as the governor signs it, instead of waiting until July 1st. And that's designed to... I think, and we've talked about this with the boards in the past, as far as how does this impact NBC, and what's the application here? And based on how NBC operates, clearly there's very little impact here unless you want to build a stadium, right? Which you can do.
I'm not certain that could pass the board, let alone the voting public.
Right.
So the good news is this is fairly rational change to law and legislation that has very minimal impact on us. But they didn't tie a bunch of other random weird things into it. It's pretty cut and dry, just that.
The one thing I will add, it's a little different, we've been very successful in negotiating the odd and strange bills. There's actually a Senate sponsor that's on this with the House members, Senator Johnson, Dan Johnson, which, I think lends some credibility to how this might do on the Senate side. He's not the chair of the committee this will go through, but has a lot of knowledge with this, and kind of think the Senate look at that favorably. So I anticipate there will be a lot of opposition to this from CCDC, City of Boise. I don't think any of the other urban rural districts are really clamoring to take this fight, but I don't know yet where the cities are discussion as it goes forward, and definitely keep it close. I think probably early next week will be the first year in the House.
Sure. I'm kind of curious, what would the opposition be? Actually, this is a more favorable than the original bill. If it's going from 60 to 55, and it still contained all of the public buildings in the existing law, what's the opposition to it?
Mr. Chairman, I think the opposition is going to be centered around the state, the inclusion of the stadium element. So now that the stadium is will become a part of this, that will be the opposition.
Mr. Chair?
Yep.
But they kind of counter that with the 55%.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's fine.
Yeah. It's a pretty rational bill. I'm actually impressed.
I'm so surprised.
Lots of changes happening down in Capitol.
Awesome. And no other updates on any of the other crazy. I know that we have what representatives from Eagle and stuff that want to throw lots of other things in. Nothing else going on there.
Not at this time, Mr. Chairman. I think there's a lot of discussions happening, sort of what I call it, you know, the underbelly level. And so there's some interesting things that are being discussed right now, but nothing concrete at this point. So.
Awesome. Well, thanks for the update.
Okay. And I guess from one additional question, in the event that NBC wanted to take either a position of support or neutrality or opposition to it, and you wanted to do that in the form of a letter, that's probably a good way to do it. We can get that to the committee members, but you certainly don't have to, but if you're wondering what would you want to do, that's typically how it would occur.
Mr. Chair, I think the board should take a position so our lobbyists can weigh in.
I think that is a great idea.
Well, I don't think we have the time.
You don't have the time?
We don't have time.
Okay.
We have it on the agenda.
I don't have to grab
it. I think you should tell me.
Yep. Mr. Chair. Yeah. I'm wondering, you mentioned this hasn't gone to committee yet. What is this proposed to be enacted this legislative session?
Mr. Chair.
So it's a fairly short time frame to go from committee to the votes on it.
They'll schedule a hearing, Mr. Chairman. They'll schedule a hearing, an initial public hearing on the House side, presumably early next week. And it'll take, its period of time. If it gets out of committee, it'll go to the full floor of the House. And if it gets beyond the House passes it, it'll then go to a Senate committee. And then if the Senate committee passes, it'll go to the full floor of the Senate. And then that's the governor.
If we send a letter of support or whatever, who would it be addressed to and when should it be?
Mr. Chairman, we could address it to the chairman of the committee or to the bill sponsors, probably more likely. And if you have a copy, I can deliver those to the committee members, and I can help craft language as well on that if that's of interest. But it's pretty common on how that works as far as letters of support. But
I mean, should it be like in the next week or two? I mean, how soon should it be?
I'd say by Monday. If you'd like to, I think that's a good general rule. I mean, it wouldn't be terribly complicated, the letter, but I think it would, if the board wants to do that, it would certainly, I'm sure it would be welcomed by the sponsors.
Mr. Chairman, I would be opposed to a letter. This body feels like there's a reason to support it strongly or to not support it strongly. There is a reason to be in favor of it or against it.
I think that'd be my question. Is there an advantage to attracting a bunch of attention to the name of NBC right now? Would, in other words, we could support this because I think for the most part we voted on it right now, whether or not this board supports investing all the tax dollars in the sports complexes, I'm fairly certain that would fail. But the question is there anything to gain from putting out public opinion on it? I think is kind of what you're saying.
Mr. Chair, the only thing I can see would be goodwill with the sponsors. If you're supporting a bill that they're promoting, and it doesn't harm us in any way based on, you know, the existing bill, it would be a goodwill gesture in my estimation.
Mr. Chairman, I think the board can also kind of look at it from a public policy perspective, and what if you think it's good public policy. I think that's probably a big factor in why you would either support or oppose any legislation. It's got to fit within that parameter, so that makes sense and what's reasonable. Where does it come down on that scale?
Mr. Chairman, and I guess in light of that, lowering the threshold to the 55% does benefit your needs, and it does give value to the citizens' vote that you don't have to have the, it's not the supermajority, but it's what is the 60% qualifying is. But I think in terms of policy, the 55% brings it in line with many of the other levels with the levies, and it would make for good policy, and it would make the current law better.
Anybody else have any opinion on it?
So I don't have an opinion, but I do have an opinion, but the question I have is I agree that the 55% makes it easier. The thing that bothers me a little bit is the fact that before it was, if you spend up to, you can spend up to 51%, and now they're saying if you put a dollar in, you got to go vote. So if a project came along and we wanted to put 10% in, or we wanted to put 20% in,
yeah, and trying to win the vote is a very expensive adventure.
So I'm kind of with Greg. I think I'm not sure we got a dog in the hunt.
Best place. yes. But I do understand, you know, URDs are typically for the underground, and if you look at the application of it statewide, it's for infrastructure primarily and not for buildings. I think that Scott had mentioned something that's really important to realize. When you look at structures that would be under, if you contribute a dollar to it, it is an investment in a building that will not bring you TIF dollars. So you should have the public weighing in on if that is important for that URD to spend money on, because typically that's not why they're formed. So I don't have an issue with that. I think if you're concerned that your public is not going to be able to pass it at 55%, maybe you shouldn't be doing it.
So to your point, to Rick's point, is if NBC did want to invest in a project like this, for example, if it was a 10% investment, more than likely we're going to find 10% investment opportunity in actual infrastructure, which isn't barred by this, rather than just the building itself.
I guess, Mr. Chair, I would ask our attorney, since we are looking into parking is specifically called out as not being within the needed vote. So, and that's really the direction that this board is going and focusing our attention on. You think that's sufficiently worded so we can still move forward with parking improvements?
Let me just take a closer look at it, Mr. Chairman and Commissioner DeVere.
I was looking at that. I'll provide a little broader context. So the whole reason why we're even here today is the debate that has emerged in the last decade. So in some people's minds, this is a blight tool that's morphed into economic development. So there's been efforts to separate the two and try to create different statutes, but it's always been, we've not ever had success doing that as a whole. And so that's really at the core of why we continue to have these types of issues, because there's an argument to be made on both sides. I see both sides of this, where, you know, the state, for example, that's an economic development tool. It's not a blight issue. So why are we using urban renewal? And so that's really the crux of why all this stuff has happened. It's been almost been mm-hmm. And until that gets solved, we'll continue to see these types of band-aid measures. But, no one's been willing to kind of step up and solve those. We've tried. There's been interim committees. There's been all kinds of activity. But that becomes the real issue on these types of pieces of legislation. We try to pull in things that doesn't really fit. Municipal buildings make perfect sense as far as they're not on the tax base, so they're not contributing. So that argument kind of works out.
So, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Beard and Scott, maybe chime in, but I think the way I'm reading this is the provisions of this subsection don't apply to infrastructure or below ground improvements necessary or ancillary to a municipal building, including but not limited to water, sewer, storm drainage, natural gas, similar systems. And then I think I read the word and lines, streets, roads, curb gutters, sidewalks, walkways, parking, or unoccupied auxiliary structures.
So where would streetlights fit?
Now that's the challenge with putting a list together. You can't ever list all of it. But it does say including but not limited.
That's not below ground.
Infrastructure or below ground improvements. It does say including but not limited to. So it's not there. Scott, is the intent of this to apply to all of these things that are related to or ancillary to a municipal building, or let you do these all separate regardless of whether they're related to a municipal building?
Mr. Chairman, the intent here specifically with pulling this in was so that it was directly related to a municipal building. So the question became, all right, so we may not want to do the municipal building, but as an urban renewal district, can't we still provide the infrastructure below ground stuff? Well, the answer everyone agreed was yes, but it wasn't very clear. And so that's why they pulled in, I believe, this section, this language in lines 21 through 28, I think it was pulled in from a different section of the urban renewal statute that already identified it. It's a list that exists somewhere else in code.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess, Commissioner DeVere, I need to remind myself of the rest of the sections. But I don't think this would prohibit the agency from doing a parking area. Maybe a parking structure is an unoccupied auxiliary structure. Maybe. But it does say parking, so parking structure, before you ever went down that road, we'd have to give it a lot of thought, but this is all ancillary to a public building. If we have the ability to do our typical things under our other provisions that aren't related to an ancillary building, apparently the intent here is not to limit it to that. So if we wanted to do our own parking structure, intent to let the URA still do that?
Yes, that's the intent.
So I guess I need to look at this in the context, or I should say maybe my law partner needs to look at this in the context of the other sections that allow us to do our normal things as an urban renewal agency, which is expend money on infrastructure and blight and removal and economic development still.
As an old insurance agent, if I'm insuring a house, a residence, a garage is considered an auxiliary structure, not a part of the resident. I would think the three operative words here are unoccupied auxiliary structures, of which, in my estimation, a parking structure would be. It is unoccupied unless somebody is sleeping in their car in the structure. So, I mean, I'm not an attorney, but I would read it as an insurance agent and say an auxiliary structure is not where someone resides, whether to work or to live. So I personally have no problem with it. In fact, I'm glad that they added that language to the original bill because it did clarify it.
Mr. Chairman, in response to Commissioner Vassilov, I don't necessarily disagree. I mean, it certainly would include things like a electrical utility building or a pump house or something. If the city doesn't issue a certificate of occupancy for a parking structure, then it's probably not occupied.
I also, Mr. Chairman, decided to take a look at how project costs is defined on line 41. So what is project cost, has some additional insight, I think, into this discussion, although there are two parts directly related to the below ground infrastructure. But I think that referencing that section of code kind of continues to wrap it up, but it does speak more specifically to public improvements, et cetera. So.
I'll send it to our Joe Horton to review as well.
There can be 30 seconds left for the announcer to say a bunch of time, plenty of time.
Mr. Chair, Scott, do you feel that it would help you to have some opinion by the board?
Mr. Chairman, I think if the board believes there's value in having a position on this, we've typically been a neutral party, kind of the Switzerland of the urban mill districts, which is good because we are input solicited a lot, and which is helpful. And so, I mean, I guess I'm not neutral on it, but I'm indifferent because if the board thinks there's value in taking a position, one way or the other, we'll do it. It will put NDC, in direct conflict potentially with CCDC and maybe other districts, maybe the IRA or
RAI.
Fergus. The Redevelopment Association. So there could be that potential, and not knowing yet what the city will do. I mean, not that that should ever be a reason not to support or something, but that's the only thing I can think of.
Who's the sponsors?
Representative Moyle, Youngblood, Anders, Senator Dan Johnson, so forth. And by the way, Anders and Youngblood have always been the voices of reason in urban renewal. They've been very good for us. And Representative Moyle is, he's always there. But,
you got it, buddy.
So I think it's up to you guys what we want to do here. I think it's pretty simple. The goal is, do we want to remain Switzerland, as you so eloquently stated, or do we want to have an opinion of this? Or we can table it.
Ever since I've been on the board, this board has tried to follow the law as written. And we have respected all the transparency requirements. We have respected the limitations that we have. We've respected the rights of citizens to weigh in on what we do. I have no objection to us supporting this because it's actually making an old law actually a better by reviewing it, and it's only and it's one page. So I think that, to me, that's what laws are supposed to be. You're supposed to take a look at them, see if they need to be tweaked, if they're tweaked in a responsible way, you support them. And this, to me, is responsible. And I think that the authors of the legislation should be commended. They didn't take a meat axe to urban renewal. They didn't say urban renewal is bad, let's do away with it, let's make it inaccessible or anything. They said, let's make an existing law clearer and a little bit better, and I think we should compliment them for it. That's just my feeling.
So is that
a motion?
Try to do my job.
Well, I would ask our executive board, you're meeting next week, right, Nathan? Don't you have a meeting? I think that the three of you should come up with, is there a statement you feel we as a board could make, put it out there, then let us vote on it at the next meeting and see if that's something we would want to do. I don't want to, on the spur of the moment, say I'm going to compose something in the next 5 minutes.
So to just check facts here, my hunch would be is if we did have a motion for writing a letter, my guess would be that you would probably employ the two of you to do this. You work in
probably the two of us.
Those two, and then Joe can contribute.
Can contribute. So we would direct them to do it and submit it. If you would like to leave, if the judgment of the board that is here today, which is almost everybody, is if you'd like to leave it up to the executive committee to make that decision, we're more than capable of doing that. And we can obviously have Dave Wade, who's not here today as well. So if you'd like to have that.
And in executive session, you can weigh the pros and cons of doing it, and exactly what should be just a that we're not opposed to it.
Yeah.
I don't know, whatever you feel would be an appropriate response.
Is that still a motion?
Let me clarify.
I'm turning it back.
Yes. What I heard initially from Commissioner Bassalo was you guys put together a letter that you think reflects what you would propose for the board. But the board still be the one to approve and take the position. So it's not executive committee, go draft a letter and send it. It's put something together, bring it back, we'll look at it. If we want to make a couple tweaks, we can. If it's good, we'll approve it. If it's not, we won't.
Yeah, I just don't want us composing a letter, now,
right,
off, as a board motion. I'd rather have the executive board come back with a draft copy, as Todd mentioned. Let us discuss it. If we don't like it, we throw it out. If we want to tweak it, we tweak it. And then there's still time to submit it in a week and a half.
There's plenty of checkpoints along the way. Not plenty, but there's several checkpoints along the way.
So this pushes it out about a week and a half from now, 2 weeks from now. Is that okay?
2 weeks, Mr. Chairman, probably getting pretty far at that point.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, did you say Monday?
Neither need we to do it today or
probably be so Monday, but it could be Friday. I have to find that out. They haven't.
If you want to get it in the house,
And so, if it comes early next week and we miss the house hearing, we still get the house members and get the Senate, so we can still get the letter out. So,
I'm gotta be the stickler here because I have to do this because Dave's not here. So, 2 weeks is the soonest that we can vote on this, which is too late. So. Yeah, so either we need to do this today or not.
Well, Mr. Chair, yes and no, it's too late. It may be too late for the initial committee meeting, but, as Trigg mentioned, we could take it or leave it, essentially, right? It isn't something that we must do. As I said before, I would see it more as a goodwill gesture on our part, not as an advocacy one way or the other. And so, with that in mind, whether it gets to those sponsors 2 weeks from now or now, at least they would know what our feeling was.
Mr. Chairman, I'm the new guy here, but I do have an opinion. Unless we have an interest, unless there is something that's pending that we have an interest in, I don't see what the rush is. And so, have great relationships with these other agencies, see what the benefit would be to do this right now. In my experience, even as it may be, these situations, I've always found it to be advantageous to slam the brakes and be prudent. And so if it's not something that we need right now,
even if it's neutral, even if it's just that we are putting in our letter that we appreciate that they're, you know, not necessarily taking a side, but just that we appreciate that, you know, because I think that there is a value in letting the champions know that we're paying attention, that you're here today informing us of what's going on, and just being quiet and not doing anything. And even if that's neutral, even if it's just that, you know, we appreciate the committee bringing this forward, and we recognize that there's some great elements to it, and not necessarily taking a side, but certainly having a voice. I think that there's a lot of value and strategy in just saying we're watching you and we appreciate what you're doing, than just being quiet. And I would make a motion that we move forward with having me draft a letter to have on Monday that doesn't necessarily take a pro or con, but just neutral letter of support for however that needs to live. That's not really a very good motion, but I just think that I think that because you're here presenting today, and because I think there are a lot of good elements to this, I think there's value in giving them something. And I don't think 2 weeks is, like, I think it should be right away. I think we should draft something.
Would it be something along the line, when you say neutral, so not a for or against, would you say something, would you say something along the lines of, for example, We appreciate, you know, what you guys are doing here, and we appreciate the fact that this does not interfere with anything that you're doing, and we see
right.
No issue with it.
And as this goes down the line, as changes are made, we're not opposed, you know, to making a statement. Yeah, exactly. Because I was really very pro until I listened to you, Commissioner, for a little bit about like that we should, if we don't have a dog in the fight, we shouldn't make a claim.
The thing is, if you go in wholehearted support of this, you essentially just Boise's
counterpart,
don't
care about that.
and the question is there something, to your point, is there something to be gained with intentionally just putting a statement out that will only be spent on? Is the non-political way to
say it? Yeah, I don't know.
Right?
Maybe.
Mr. Chairman, so my approach is always, I don't like to play games.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't, maybe that makes me a terrible politician. I have no idea. But I just don't like to play games. It is what it is, and there's just, you know, I don't see a ton of value in maybe, you know, creating better relationships from this level, you know, whatever. I do like Commissioner Bevin's idea, maybe, you know, maybe taking that neutral stance and saying, hey, you know, we're watching, we're really interested in this, we're paying attention, this is very interesting to us, whatever verbiage is, but I don't see the value in playing games. It's just like either we support it or we don't. We take a neutral side. At the end of the day, whatever it is, I don't think it's going to help or hurt us a ton.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, and bottom line is it's going to go to the public anyway, and the public's going to make that decision if they can get 55%, and that's basically the transparency that we need to support, which is what the public wants to do. So
agreed.
I
agree, and we do have a motion, though, so I do have to follow through on that. We have a motion right now, and correct me if I'm saying this wrong, we have a motion to draft a neutral letter that at least voices the fact that NDC is paying attention to current legislation and what's going on. Do we have a second on that? Is that Trey?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that means we got to do a roll call vote.
Discussion.
You said this is a draft letter? Yeah, could I hear draft?
Well, letter.
No, So we're going to create a letter. We will have a letter drafted. Yeah, you're right. I used the word draft.
Okay. So if it's a draft letter, is it coming back to this board, or are we sending out this draft of a draft letter?
It sounds to me like in your scenario, considering that it's a neutral letter, it's something you're turning over to the executive committee to have out by Monday. Is that
correct?
That?
One more time.
It would be a letter that's getting drafted, kind of being overseen by the executive committee, and we'd have it out by Monday next week. Would be the further details on that. Do you still second that? The key word being neutral. It has to be neutral.
Go take a look at it in terms of the whole. I think we want to make sure that we're not stepping on something that we don't know about. And having Joe or Todd or whoever it is give us the, no harm here, no future harm here. I think
it is a good point. It's going to come down to what you even said. It's kind of, do you trust the executive committee and the review that they're going to employ, which they've already stated is going to include Joe, right? If you believe that they can draft a letter, then I would say you could support this, and it will probably go out on Monday, which is a timely matter. Otherwise, we would need a counter motion to draft a letter and then vote on it in 2 weeks when it's, to your point, largely irrelevant. All right, I'm going to do a roll call, and the motion is to turn it over to the executive committee, who will have Joe weigh in, and we will have joint Todd, Joe, Ashley as administrator, and the executive committee try to make sure that this doesn't get us in any political trouble.
And stop.
And then submit it on Monday. Yeah,
and
that is the motion.
That's the agenda.
And Mr. Chairman, if it's more than 2 paragraphs long, it's too long.
Okay. So, I'm going to go ahead and do a roll call vote here. Steve.
With me being on the executive board and taking that same position, I think everybody would be comfortable with, I will vote aye.
Okay. Dan.
Aye.
Tammy.
Do I Mayor. Trust the executive?
Yeah, Mayor. Sorry. Rob.
Aye.
Rick.
Aye.
Diane.
Aye.
Trey.
Aye.
And I'm an aye as well. So it passes.
We'll talk.
Okay, I'll give a draft over to Ashley this evening.
We will appreciate your guidance on this.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks, Scott. Less than 2 paragraphs. That's, I like that. Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you,
Scott.
Okay.
Oh.
Let's hope we have a less controversial issue.
We never knew.
I hope
so.
You never know. Let's welcome Hillary for a Learning Arts Commission update.
Thank you.
Art can be controversial, I guess.
Yes. Thank you, Jeremy and NBC. It's great to be back in front of all you guys. I was going to update you on 3 quick things, but there's really one that I need to input on. So I'm going to by date. Just as an update for you all, the West Ada Annual Art Show Frame is coming up at the end of April. Is the reception? It's April 25th. The West Ada Annual Art Show is how we have traditionally selected the artwork that goes on traffic box wraps in the URA. In the past, we've had Dan represent MDC in selecting and nominating works for MAC to consider. But the way that the agreement is written, essentially, authorizes MAC. So I assume that we go in the same process, but I figured I could always send an email to Ashley, take pictures of the pictures that we'd be considering, and that way you guys really see them, even though Mac has the final authority, that way you have an idea of what's going on. Usually Mac makes those selections and has a location in mind, but not always, so I'll try to spell out locations as they suggest them. And then a quick attachment to that is that West Ada's that same exhibit, all the artwork that's recognized in the framed art show, will be hosted in an exhibit space in the gallery upstairs for the month of May. So please check out the May art show because it has all the student work in it. Concerts on Broadway is my next point, and that's the one I need your input on. The Arts Commission has decided to move the dates and time of concerts on Broadway. So the dates are September 7th, which is the Saturday of Art Week, September 21st, and October 5th, with each show starting at 2:30 p.m. and ending at 5. So their rationale for moving the concert, I'll just go through my points. There's been an excess of other events taking place during the summer, which has proved difficult for staffing sound vendors that are overbooked or that will charge us super high prices because they say they were going to do the Cherry Festival, but they would do it for us if we paid X amount. So if there's ever somebody that has a conflict that comes up that we can't control, it's really hard to get a vendor in because there are so many other summertime events. The other point with summer events is that they're sometimes competing events, and we don't want to get in the way of especially events that are programmed in the city of Meridian. That has been less of a concern than the sound vendors. The other major concern is heat and smoke. The last few years we've had people not come at all because of the smoke, and we've also had people leave at intermission because of either the heat or the smoke. There's a lot of people that just have sensitivities to smoke, and it limits whether or not they can enjoy the whole show. The Parks Department is also, and so another reason is that the Parks Department is piloting a more casual weekly music program that will be held on Thursdays. So moving concerts on Broadway possibly minimizes conflict or confusion between those two different events. Moving the time of the event may also allow patrons more time to engage with the downtown businesses and the market vendors. So traditionally we started at 6:30 and closed at 9, so there weren't a ton of businesses still open after 9 that people could go to after a show, although they could go prior to a show. So our hope is that by putting it in this matinee time that abuts the market, people could come early, check out the market, and then stay later and go to dinner or go somewhere else downtown, since that's one of the intentions of having the concerts, is to bring people downtown. And the matinee time also allows us to save, since we made the dates, it would also allow us to save money on lighting and hopefully be a warmer part of the day because the sun sets earlier in September. And then also with the other consideration was with construction around Old City Hall, Matt wants to keep people coming downtown past the summer months and hopefully encourage people to keep patronizing the downtown businesses. As I mentioned, they're all essentially abut the Main Street Market, which will be going through, I think, October 12th.
Yeah.
And we've talked to the market coordinators about inviting some of their vendors to stay active through 5 o'clock through the whole show, so that it could be more of a festival type of vibe, especially if those are arts-oriented vendors, that might be an encouraging way or an additional possible benefit to vendors that are considering getting involved in the market. The coordinators for the market, Main Street Market, also said that as far as logistics go, it shouldn't be an issue on those 3 days. They would just not stage vendors up here on the plaza, so we would essentially load in from the staff lot and not be in the way of any of the vendors going on out there. And then both the market coordinator and the coordinator from Concerts on Broadway that we've worked with in the past said that they'd be happy to work together to promote communicate the changes, and then also help boost each other's events as much as possible as well. The other sponsors that have engaged with Concerts
Broadway were on board with the change date and time. And then I also had called Touch Market Meadow Lake because they often bring buses full of people, of their residents, to come and enjoy the shows. And they said that the matinee time actually works better for their scheduling than the evening time. So this comes up because I haven't updated you guys on this potential change, but I also haven't invoiced MDC, and that's something that's due in our agreement.
Actually, Hillary, we already paid.
Us?
Yeah.
Concerts?
Yeah. Karen sent us an invoice at the end of January.
Well, great.
Because I asked why.
So if your decision has changed, we can reimburse you. my intention was to get your approval and then to invoice you.
Yeah, she already invoiced. She was a couple weeks late because I asked why there was a delay.
What were the dates again?
September 7th, September 21st, and October 5th. I don't think it is. I'm looking for input from MDC on if you support those changes, and we'll continue to support the program as a agreed contribution.
The only thing that seems to be Mr. Chairman, Hillary wasn't at the Downtown Business Association meeting last Friday. Ashley and I were, and this was brought up, I believe, by Parks and Recreation.
Colin.
Yeah. And these dates were presented to the MDBA group that was there. It was a pretty large group because it was the election meeting. And I didn't hear any objections to these dates. In fact, there was a lot of favoritism for them. The one area of concern didn't have anything to do with the Meridian Arts Commission. It had to do with dairy days.
No.
Something else. It had to do with dairy days and the time of the parade and the route of the parade, which is brought up every year as a concern by the business owners downtown. But others, but the dates for and the times for the concerts on Broadway, the Thursday performances, you know, all of those things, everyone seemed to be pretty happy about. Am I interpreting that correctly, Ashley?
That's correct.
State plays in town. The question I have is, you don't know the times of the games, do you have any feel for what impact the Boise State game could have on this as far as attendance?
Yeah, this is something that the Boise State games and other games were something that the commission talked about on whether or not we should move the dates. And the general consensus was that they didn't think that it would have such a severe impact that it would. I have no idea who might hold them on their favorite sports teams. Although I know also that some of the commissioners brought up that some of the games seem to be aired later, so they were also thinking people could maybe come to the concert and go watch a game. I have no idea.
Professional and younger.
We have a lot of people that are probably 40s plus, and I'd say a really heavy portion of that are people in their 60s, which again is why kind of the smoke and heat was such a high concern. And the it's family friendly, but it's definitely geared to sitting and watching the show.
It's going to come down to what direction you guys are trying to take this in. Because if we're trying to cater to the audience that's currently attending in, then all the changes are probably very wise. I don't see.
many, many times. Definitely not going to a concert. So I think it really just depends on what direction you guys are trying to take it. You know what I mean?
That's true, too. There's some sensitivities on that. The audience in the past have not been so influenced. And yeah, the targeting, the vandals, and the goons, and the doves, and every, well, the forest city.
So does the farmer's market end normally?
Try something. We have seen some issues with smoke, so if anything, if it's not extremely successful or doesn't satisfy them, we can always.
And if we can get millennials out at 2:30 and teach them swing music, that's a plus, right?
Yeah, definitely.
He didn't hear you, Dan.
Did you need anything from us?
I don't know if I need a motion since you already invoiced.
No.
My final update was just to let you guys know, also in case you weren't already aware, was that Art Week will be September 3rd through 7th. And we have a lot of great additions this year, including local artists and downtown businesses throughout the week, and then organizing an art walk that helps kind of give people a distinct call and come out and see all those displays. As the Mayor's Award in the Arts, which will include four specific awards for excellence in the arts, support in the arts and education, and student excellence in the arts that we're hoping to present at that concert on Saturday as well. And then adding professional development opportunities for local artists. In other art week or art festivals, a large part of the draw, whether you want to say it's an economic draw or interest, is in artists themselves. And we've seen a lot of in people having workshops or panel discussions or songwriting workshops or seminars. So we are exploring what makes the most sense and what businesses we can partner with to get some of those things downtown.
Thank you.
Awesome. No, we appreciate what you're doing. I think it's a great change. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
We're trying. Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
Hillary.
Okay, we are moving on to number 8 here.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we have Crystal here from the city, who is the new CDBG administrator, if you have not had the chance to meet her. In your packet there, as we talked at the last board meeting, the bids for the East Carlton Street sidewalk project came in extremely high again. I gave an overview of what those bids were and that the city was going to come back with a recommendation based on what they can do within their parameters and their agreements with HUD. And in your packet is a memo that Crystal has outlined just about everything. It's well done, by the way, talking about pros and cons. I'll just cut to the chase. It's really short, and then I'll let Crystal fill in. But ultimately, we discussed one of the options would be to take the construction dollars that we had allocated for this program year for the East 3rd Street project and potentially reallocate those to the Carlton project, which would allow us to be able to meet that low bid. That is the recommended alternative, as I read from the city. We still have some steps that we would need to do to be able to formally reallocate those dollars. But if the board is agreeable to that, Crystal and I can move forward in working through that process. And didn't mean to steal any of your thunder, but just wanted to kind of let them know where we're heading, and I'll turn it over to you for any further information.
No, actually, that was a great intro. It pretty much covered everything. So there are quite a few pros and cons to everything, but when we came down to it, the purpose of the program is to help people in low to moderate income areas, and this project has been going for a couple of years now, and we think that it would be in everybody's best interest to just complete it, and then you guys would have to apply in a future year for the East Third project. Anybody have any concerns with that?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I think this is the best solution that we possibly can come up with at this time. It would allow us to be able to get this project moved forward. The design has been completed for the past year, and it will allow us to be able to move forward on that. It would not preclude us from moving forward on the design of East 3rd Street in order to prepare for that project. We already have a scope of work approved with Civil Survey Consultants. I have not kicked them off yet because I wanted to see how all of this played out. But we could at least have the design finished in this fiscal year, and then the next program year we can apply for those construction dollars. It was within about $3,000, I believe. Yeah. Unfortunately, the cost just started the cost at this time. So,
I'm
sorry.
I guess just to know, Crystal gave this presentation to City Council last night and agreed with her recommendation on the preferred.
Thank you. And we also, the bids are only good for 45 days, so we would be able to meet with that 45-day period with the next board meeting in terms of approving that low bid.
So, to be correct, all you actually need is just a recommendation to proceed with figuring out what is necessary to move that, and then we will vote on it next.
Yes.
Meeting.
Yeah, we will bring the contracts back for Brycon Construction, which is the low bid. And all the necessary details along with that in order to kick that off. And then it looks like we have some additional steps with City Council that we'll need to take as well, too. So I'll be working with Crystal on that side of things.
Perfect. Any discussion on that? So do we need a motion to instruct you guys to move forward, or you just go ahead and do it because we're going to have a resolution anyway?
You can do a motion to have us bring back a proposed agreement.
Brycon.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we have come back to proceed with coming back with some contracts and a more formal plan for us to vote on our next meeting.
Sam McCarville.
And then I'll go ahead and go to a roll call. Steve.
I have an aye.
Dan.
Aye.
Tammy.
Aye. Miss Madam Mayor. Rob.
Aye.
Rick.
Aye.
Diane.
Aye.
And Trey.
Aye.
And I'm an aye as well.
Thank you.
Look forward to that next week. Yes.
Just thanks to Crystal for
really
into this. All the options are and coming back with a firm recommendation on how to get this off of this.
Yes.
Okay, so moving along to option to number 9 here. It's consideration of approval of authorizing the chairman, the vice chairman, or the secretary treasurer to sign the transfer of ownership documents for 713. North Main Street and East, and 30 Feet East Idaho Avenue, Pacific Companies, and corresponding resolution 19-012.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There these are the form warranty deeds transferring the old City Hall and the 713 properties. As you know, the plan is to close on this on the 28th, tomorrow. Transfer the funds that we received from the Pacific companies to the city in exchange for transfer of the old City Hall. And then it's a simultaneous, essentially, transfer to the Pacific companies, which technically this authorizes transfer to them or their designee. And their designee is going to be City Center Redevelopment, LLC. That's the entity that they're forming. And the draft deeds do have the reversionary clause in it, which says if they don't commence or complete demolition and commence development by May 30, 2019, then rights revert back. Hopefully you don't have to go down there because then it can be kind of messy to work all that out, but it's in there, and that was part of our development agreement. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I think this authorizes chairman, the vice, or the vice chairman to sign the secretary to also sign.
Perfect. Perfect.
2:30 tomorrow. That's our closing time.
What
time? 2:30.
Okay. Well, there's no discussion that we have.
Read it first, yes.
Yeah.
Then I'll skip over a rather. This resolution 19-012, a resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency in Reading, Idaho, authorizing the chairman or vice chairman and secretary to sign the warranty deeds, transferring ownership of the real property located at 33 East Idaho Avenue and 713 North Main Street to the Pacific West Community/Pacific West Builders or their designee, following receipt by MDC of the property located at 33 East Idaho Avenue from the City of Meridian. Authorizing the chairman, vice chairman, and secretary to sign any closing documents related to these transactions. Authorizing any technical changes to the agreement. Authorizing the administrator to take all necessary action required to implement the agreement and provide an effective date.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Can I move Election of officers for March 2019 through February 2020 and corresponding resolution. It has Winder's name next to it. I'm assuming you can read us what this is about.
So,
the election.
Yes, the election of officers. based on kind of the throwout discussion, the offer by the existing officers to continue to serve, that's what I have. But that said, anybody can still throw their name in the hat and pursue service in an executive capacity on this board if you're willing to do so. If not, you can take them one at a time, Mr. Chairman, or if there's a motion to simply re-elect the current slate of officers, that would work too. Whatever you want to do.
So moved.
To re-elect the current officers.
We know that Robert's rules say someone does not an official motion. So
okay, I can clarify. Rick, are you moving to make a motion that we re-elect the current officers?
Yes, I am.
Rick is. So we have a motion. Do we have a second or discussion?
a second.
Second.
We have a second. That was Rob, correct?
Rob.
Okay. That means I need to do another vote. Getting good at these people.
Discussion.
Oh, discussion.
I'd like to say something.
Go.
Excited to work for these fantastic leaders. Excited to be here. You do a good job. Can we see?
You do realize I'm running my first ever meeting.
You're doing a good job. I don't know why you're sweating so much. Isn't, you know, you're killing it.
Okay. Fantastic. I like my job as this guy. Let's do any other discussion. We appreciate that. Thank you. Go ahead and do a roll call vote. So we will start with Steve.
Aye.
Matt and Mary.
Aye.
Dan.
Aye.
Rob.
Aye.
Rick.
Aye.
Diane.
Aye.
Fred.
Aye.
And I'm there as well.
Mr. Chairman, maybe that what you did, you elected the officers, but now we'll adopt the resolution reflecting that election. So, no, that's okay. I didn't totally describe it as a two-pronged approach. So, this is, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, this is Resolution 19-013, a resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency of Meridian, Idaho, recognizing the public meeting where new officers were elected for the agency, acknowledging that such election was done in furtherance and compliance with the agency bylaws as amended and providing an effective date, and then it lists within the resolution Chairman Dave Winder, Vice Chairman Nathan Mueller, and Secretary Treasurer Steve Lassen.
Okay. Resolution or motion on the resolution?
Mr. Chairman?
Yep.
I move the adoption of Resolution 19-013 as written by council.
Second?
Is that better, Mayor?
Second by Bevan.
Second by Bevan, yep.
Okay.
And we'll go down the list again. Steve.
Aye.
Dan.
Aye.
Madam Mayor.
Aye.
Rob.
Aye.
Rick.
Aye.
Dan.
Aye.
And Trey.
Aye.
If you didn't,
yeah, that'd be good.
We have more than we do. Discussion items, I think we can move through here fairly quickly, but Vlasic, you're up first with property and parking.
As most of you know, we've combined the property and the parking committee. One of the great things that came out of last meeting, Stephen Hunt proposed a fixed route transit system for Valley Regional Transit. The goal, and I think the mayor was jumping up and down and told him we have 10 months to get this done, if I'm not mistaken.
Under overpass?
That was a different meeting.
That was a different meeting. To actually have a link from 10 Mile clear through the city of Meridian, downtown, and then have a and at the village, so that it would actually pull on the east side into 10 Mile, be able to get those people into the village, and vice versa, and get Boise people into the village and through the city of Meridian and down to the west end of the city. So I think everybody was excited about that. It's called Valley Connect 2.0. They're actually, I believe, on the agenda for April or May now, coming up to the city council to figure out how they're going to move forward, how the funding is going to come for that. they're trying to get, you know, anywhere from the $200,000 to $500,000 for some of that, not including the buses, because the understanding is that they're probably going to need to add eventually. They'll reroute a couple buses to take on that line in the prime time of the day and the evening for that transit system. But there was quite a bit of discussion about two different types of buses and those costs. Kind of give you an idea, gas buses, just for the group's interest, run about $450,000 for a gas bus, gas propane push bus, and then to go into an electric bus is almost double that, about $850,000 to $900,000. So I think think that's the ultimate plan, to be as eco-friendly as possible for that line. I don't know where that money is all going to come from, but the city's going to be working on that come April or May of this year. So that was exciting about that transit system, and especially the route that they're proposing down Pine with the new street and going through the city and ending up at the village and vice versa.
Yeah. Half the route is in our urban renewal zones.
Right.
Servicing a good area for us.
Mr. Chair, and it's important to note that will be connected on both sides. So the Nampa route connects to it and feeds into that ridership. It's down a corridor that has some good sized employers, and it connects to the village. It actually connects to something.
To your point, the route that they think was really smart, because I feel like the boring route that people think is to go down Fairview, but they took it down Pine, so it goes past Blue Cross, it goes past the high school, it goes past Sensi, it goes past all the big employers we have in the alley right now.
I've actually got that proposed route, if anybody wants to take a look at that too. It's kind of small, but it's a copy.
And I've asked for a big copy of that too.
Can't forget it. Goes through downtown.
Yeah.
Yes.
Downtown.
Biggest one of all, right?
Go pack some people out here sometime.
Right.
People
work
in these new buildings.
Yeah. Shows the best layout.
And it's going to teach
downtown.
Yeah. Other than that, I think that was the crux of it. The ridership and the Harvest buses are still proposed to be here sometime in March. I've heard that a couple times, but I understand the delivery date is supposed to be in March on those.
Mm-hmm.
And their rider count is up from 589 to over almost 900 rides. So, other than that,
Okay,
perfect. Thank you.
OC Hall block. Yes. So tomorrow's the closing. Totally excited about this. 2:30. We've had a lot of communications also with Josh and his team, and also Casey in the mayor's office to look at that ceremony that we're going to have once the demolition occurs. Right now, we're putting the date on hold for that is April 18th. We want to do it a little bit after the demolition happens, and there's some reasons for that. More details to follow, but I will put the 18th on your all's schedule. We've done some research on cameras to be able to do the daily snapshot. Yeah, so $159 is the one that's most recommended. So we're going to get a couple of those. We're going to do it for City Hall and then hopefully get permission from Josh for the Heritage Building and be able to get it from a couple of different angles. So that is being worked on at this time. There's going to be, if we wait also until the 18th as well, Josh is going to be able to make a big announcement as to the anchor tenant, and we think that's really important as part of this ceremony as well. So good things are happening. We will keep you informed as more information comes to light, but there's some good steps forward. Any questions for me on this?
Okay. Well, I think you can keep going with the updates because you're out here for 10 miles as well.
As I promised, there is finally a 10-mile update. I think John and I have agreed we'll just go to quarterly updates just because of just the time consuming. Commitment that it makes for him, unless there's something really special we need to highlight. But I think it's pretty self-explanatory. I think the items of interest are mostly underneath the new building permits and also the new tenants secured, which are huge. And I see someone in this room who is identified on there on
well,
this list as well.
Wow.
Yeah. So a lot is happening out at 10 Mile. they're working on their very first reimbursement request for us, so hopefully I'll see that probably in the next 30 to 45 days. We did get our first disbursement for the year for 10 mile for the, and we got about $270,000. And with what we have carried over from last year, we're about at 330, 340 in terms of increment that's been accrued for 10 mile thus far.
Awesome. They're moving fast up there.
They are moving really quickly.
And Mr. Chair, I understand that Brighton is moving mid-March into their building, and should have a ribbon cutting probably in April.
Great. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, last page in your packet are the upcoming committee meetings. I think that is pretty self-explanatory. If you have any questions, let me know. I don't have anything further to add. Thank you.
Chairman's report is thank you for bearing with me. It was fun doing this once. Let's all pray for Dave for that. And public comments. Comments from the public.
I'm impressed.
Thank you, Carmen.
Thank you for coming.
That said, I would run the meeting.